to ask anyone who is delusional enough to believe that this economic recovery that they say is back on the way is real. If you listen to mainstream media long enough, you might just be tempted to believe that the United States has emerged from recession and is now in the middle of a full-fledged economic recovery. In fact, according to the Obama administration officials, the great American economic machine has roared back to life, stronger and more vibrant than ever. But is that really the case? Of course not. You would have to be very delusional to believe that. What did happen was that all of the stimulus packages that was wrapped up in your tax dollars and sent back to the people that stole it and destroyed it in the first place now has increased government spending and new debt that Obama was willing to sink your futures or your children's futures into. The U.S. Congress pumped billions of dollars into the economy, Wall Street, the bankers, and they call that the economy. It had nothing to do with the economy. It was a money economy. The money changers, ladies and gentlemen, if you get the message. But they made our long-term economic problems far worse. The reality is that the United States cannot keep supporting economy on an ocean of red ink forever. At some point, the charade is going to come crashing down. And now, when that point is when the rapid depleting dollar value decreases even more than it already is. Have you ever went out and just bought the daily milk and bread and you took a buck with you? You can forget that. Milk is higher than gasoline. That's what you run your body on. And bread, the staple diet of America, milk and bread. Now, if you add meat, protein, you're gonna need a few bucks. Matter of fact, you can go to the grocery store to buy your daily bread and your milk and your meat, and you better have quite a few bucks in your pocket. And when you carry your grocery bag out and set it in the car, $100 worth of groceries, you can carry them in two hands. Used to, $100 worth of groceries. I can remember being a young boy in the 30s. We would go to the grocery store. My dad would spend $20. And honest, we had a pickup truck. And the whole pickup bed in the back. In the bags, we had the big paper, brown paper, poke bags, what we used to call them, poke paper bags. And the whole pickup bed would be covered with groceries, $20. And it would be enough to do our family of 10 people for at least a week. I mean, we had plenty left over. You could buy the necessary items, sugar and coffee and meal and flour and beans and stuff like we grew our own potatoes and our things that came out of the garden, our greens and stuff. And just the thing that we would necessarily need out of a grocery store. It was incredible what $20 is. You take $20 today and you go to get you a hamburger. Even McDonald's is raising their prices. Everything costs more. The recovery of the U.S. economy is experiencing an illusionary ending and will be quite temporary when all of the stimulus money is funneled out back to the source of the problem. That means the money changers again. And so then, America is in for a very, very rocky road. I do believe, now listen to me real well, I do believe that this planned economic depression is the onset of far worse things to come. Now, let me give you an example. Number one, in what universe is an economy with 45 million Americans on food stamps considered to be a healthy, recovering economy? In fact, the U.S. Department of Agriculture forecasts that enrollment in the food stamp program will exceed, listen to this, 50 million Americans in 2011. 50 million people on food assistance government handout program. Now, who gets the bill ultimately for that? Well, that's the American property owner, because he's not going to have a job. He's going to owe a mortgage on his home, the property owner, paying more to support the central government. We're headed for socialism, ladies and gentlemen. And socialism has never worked in any country in the world. It's brought dire consequences economically. Russia is an example. China is an example. Two of the largest communist countries in the world. It didn't work in Russia. They've done junked the ideal of communism. They're going now more towards a capitalistic economy and now are getting on their feet. They're the largest oil-producing country in the world. They are the largest gold-producing country in the world. And so they lead now instead of follow. Used to, America led in every department almost in the world. We exported more goods than almost all of the other countries combined in the world. Matter of fact, while Russia was under communist rule, they would have to make large grain imports from America. They would purchase our grains. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have almost 50 million people on assistance. Now, how many of those are legal Americans? That's the question here. It's a rapidly increasing number that of Americans, and I'm talking about people that used to work and make their own way, didn't ask for government assistance. This is a sign of a bad economy. This is the first telltale sign when people have to use a supplemental. I'm not talking about those that are using food stamps. I'm talking about those that need to use them or have to use them to supplement their income. It's getting to the point where there's more handed out of the government than there is handed in. And that's the rule of communism. It's a failure. Number two reality. According to foreclosure filings, Realty Track, the filings that were reported on 367,056 properties in the month of March. Now, let me repeat that. 367,000 plus properties in the month of March was foreclosed on. You didn't hear that in your local media exchange. They won't tell you that. They gloss over what has happened to our country because these people now that are in control are literally getting rich. Mr. Obama stands to make $85 million on the Gulf disaster alone on his holdings. Now, don't ask me why. Number three reason, the Mortgage Bankers Association just announced that more than 10% of U.S. homeowners with a mortgage had missed at least one payment in the January to March period. That was a record high, up from 9.1% a year ago. And do you think that this is an indication that the U.S. housing market is recovering? If you do, ask those who announced that there was a 10% of a U.S. homeowner at 10 out of every 100 that missed the payments in that time period. They couldn't pay it. They had to skip it. Once you start skipping and get behind, it's like a snowball effect. Interest incurred against your mortgage payment. They penalize you. And now we're going from 367,000 properties plus a year. That could increase in the months to come. Now, number four. How can the United States real estate market be considered healthy when for the first time in modern history, banks own a greater share of residential housing net worth in the United States than all individual Americans put together? First time in history, they don't tell you these things. So reason number four, that banks own more of the housing residential real estate than do individual owners. Now that's not a healthy sign, and that is the reason number four that we're going down the tube. You can kiss your country goodbye. It's designed to be destroyed by an enemy from within. We're going to tell you about them a little bit later. Number five, the United States Congress is planning to quadruple oil taxes. Oh, now we begin to see what the Gulf incident is about. Number five, the United States Congress, under the blessing of Obama or the encouragement of Obama, is planning to quadruple the oil taxes. And what do you think the price of gasoline in the United States, and how do you think that it will affect the U.S. economy, especially you driving to a job that you don't have or look for one that doesn't exist? You're not going to be able to afford it. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophecy of a lot of people is that there will be plenty of foodstuffs, this GMO manufactured quick fix food, not your good stuff, but there'll be plenty of that on the shelf, but you won't have any money to buy it. You see what I mean? You'll be on food stamps, and when you go to shop, you'll have to use a coupon book sponsored by not the government. We need to quit using government and start saying the United States taxpayers' burden. You're becoming a burden to yourself. You've run out of your own savings, and now you're dipping into the future savings of your children when you see somebody with a food stamp card in front of you piling up the GMO food that is making us docile, making us dumbing us down, putting something in our food, making the males more feminine and vice versa. This food stuff that we get is nothing but junk. I don't care how wholesome it looks, how they wrap it and package it. and when you borrow money from your own self, the taxpayer, you may be buying food with a food stamp card, but eventually those that are working are going to get heavier burdens, and right now there's less people working, and 39 to 40 to 50 million people now unemployed, looking for jobs, out running around trying to find one, with 367, close to 400,000 pieces of property in just the month of March was taken over by those who could no longer afford to make the payment, and now we have the highest percentage on record of U.S. homeowners that have missed at least one payment in the month of January. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a problem. Number six. Do you think that it's a good sign that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of the state of California, says that terrible coal cuts are urgently needed in order to avoid a complete financial disaster in the state of California? And let me remind you, California is in the worst economic dire straits. They're putting themselves in a straitjacket. They're tying themselves up with debt that they cannot no longer borrow against the debt, because the state of California is now forced to feed the thousands upon hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens. And Mr. Feinstein says that she's in favor of border control. After years of open border, she's had time to see that it was closed, but she's not for border closing. She's all in favor of opening this country up to a substandard third world company inventory. The United States is an example of, they don't care as long as they force out the American worker that built this country, force out the taxpayer, foreclose on their property like they did in Russia in 1917, and they ruined a perfect czar-led government capable of feeding its people, clothing its people with good salaries. In 1917, there was no depression in Russia. It only happened in the 30s and 40s, or at least 90 million Aryan white families foreclosed on, and then later forced to concentration camps. And ladies and gentlemen, following the example of the revolution in Russia, designed by the capitalist communism of the Edomites, we have now an example in America where we're going down the dead-end trail to disaster and economic ruin. But who cares? Those that ran Russia into the ground and destroyed her are now purposely doing the same thing with open planning, open forum, where they are discussing how to control or take over the United States government, and people are sitting at home in their retirement rocking chairs in their 40s, nothing to do, wandering aimlessly around in vain, searching for a job that don't exist, carrying their food stamp card, missing their real estate payment, while the Edomites control property. And that's exactly what communism is all about: owning all of the property, giving you a meager handout in exchange for your real property, and your assets. They done stole the baby boomer assets through Wall Street, the money changer exchange, which are nothing but thieves and robbers and crooks. Why do we sit back and elect someone with an open intention that he doesn't believe that our flag represents anything positive anymore? Number six, or number seven, that was number six. Number seven, is it just California now that's in trouble? Dozens of United States or states in the United States are in such financial shape that they're getting ready for their biggest budget cuts in decades. Why do you think all of those budget cuts are going to strengthen the economy when they have to cut back, curtail spending? Somebody is going to be hurting, and that reason is because of the growing foreclosure and taking up personal land, being less money available. That's what they're doing this for. The banking system is obeying their money masters to make more or less money available at a higher rate of purchasing power, getting something for return. While they foreclose on your real property, they shuffle the paperwork in their favor, always in their favor. And this is the art of socialist communism that we're under right now. Number eight. In March, the United States trade deficit widened. Now get this now, and you think that you're going to flee from this? You think you're going to need to get away from this? Where will you go? What country would take you in a foreign country? What visa could you purchase? You better get out while it's good, because this country is coming to what we know as a planned takeover by the United States Communist Socialist Government. It's sad. We're no longer a nation of proud people. Oh, yes, we got the strongest military in the world. And the military rolls on a budget designed with debt. Our billions of dollars, I think it's over $200 billion, somewhere in that neighborhood, that the debt increases every minute of the red ink that we are accumulated. We're trillions of dollars. The truth has not been told how many trillions of dollars that we own. Is something coming up where that they can crash the dollar? Are you going to be caught with your stocks and your bonds of worthless paper? Are you going to get out, flee from the stock bond market now? If you're invested in stocks and bonds, sell. Take a loss if you have to. Get out. In March, the trade deficit widened to its highest level since December 2008. We have a trade deficit widening. In other words, the things that we trade abroad are less than what we purchase from abroad. That's what that means. That means there's more going out or coming in than is going out. Now, when I mean that we have to pay for what comes in, and we get less for what's going out. And that will widen and increase to grow so that we will be like communists. Can you envision the largest grain-producing country in the world? Canada and America. America and Canada. And the day's coming when we will have to import wheat from capitalist countries because we've gone to communism and they have wrecked Freener Pie system and destroyed our ability to have any incentive, even to grow bread. And no wonder it talks about the price of a loaf of bread or a cruse of oil. Number 9. Considering the fact that the United States government is projected to have $1.6 trillion deficit in 2010, now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bare minimum. Trillion. $1.6 trillion. Enough to go to the moon and back if you lay a dollar upon a dollar or a hundred upon a hundred. We got a mammoth problem. $1.6 trillion deficit. And considering the fact that if you went out and spend $1 every single second, it would take you more than 31,000 years to spend $1 trillion. If you spent a dollar every second, it'd take you 31,000 years to spend it. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's the enormity. It's a mammoth indebtedness. That is debt. That means that we are in hoc to the international money changers exchange. They're exchanging your goods and services for a piece of paper, worthless, becoming worthless, into gold and silver, which they're raking off the table. They're taking all of these valuable things of tangible goods and giving you a worthless piece of tender that says one legal note. Number 10, the U.S. Treasury Department recently announced that the United States government suffered a wider than expected budget deficit of $82.69 billion in April. So the fact is that the red ink of the United States government is actually worse than projected, which would be a bad sign of indicators of things to come. And this has happened, ladies and gentlemen, even after the George Bush two-war that we paid for, are still paying for it, only we're increasing the indebtedness. We're fighting abroad on borrowed money. We're hawking the house or the real estate of our nation into a bunch of money changers, these evil money changers that is in control and strangling our nation by the neck. According to a report, the United States national debt, which will reach 100% of the GDP by the year 2015. Now, I want you to listen to this now. This is where the S hits the fan. The rubber meets the road. According to the projected report, the United States national debt will reach 100% to equal or neutralize our GDP by the year 2015. Is that a economic recovery? Hello? Monstrosity is the word that we could use in the mountains of debt. Now, this debt is owed to the international bankers who print our money at our expense, and we're hawking, the whole nation is in debt. The government, the bank, they're owning more property than actually the landholders, and that's what they want. They want the property. They act like, oh, that's an economic nightmare. We can't carry out this property. They're actually rolling in glee. They're shouting at the top of their lungs. This communist social agenda is working with little resistance from the voter. We get the same old promises when they're running and the same lies when they're elected. It's awful what we're going through. The FDIC's list of problem banks recently hit a 17-year high. Do you think that an increasing number of small banks that are failing, over 200 projected here, 250, that are projected here in this year, they're failing, do you think it's a good sign for the economy? Are we being lied to while Rome burns? They have the fanned economy, the wind's blowing, oh, we're going to pull out of it what we have done. The stimulus package that we gave back to Wall Street, that's working. And these hideous Edomites, these international thieves, are laughing all the way to Chase Manhattan into the lower rock safes that they got borrowed 500 feet on Long Island or in Manhattan, the safe systems of the Federal Reserve Bank around the world. They are packing them out with gold and silver in exchange for the worthless piece of tender called a legal note. The FDIC is backing 8,000 banks that have a total of $13 trillion in assets with a deposit insurance fund that is basically flat broke. What do you think would happen if a significant number of small banks do start failing, which this is the next economical disaster that is waiting to happen? Closing out the small banks, putting them out of business, seizing their assets. Notice this. Existing home sales in the United States jumped 7.6% in April. That's good news. The bad news is that the increase only happened because the deadline to take advantage of the temporary home buyer tax credit was looming. So now that there is no more tax credit for home buyers, what would they do when they have to start making these payments, with interest rates will begin to creep up, or the deflation or the value of your dollar will decrease to the point that you, the homeowner, will begin to be forced to start skipping payments, and then the international money changers, like the buzzards they are, will light on the carcass of the financial ruin of America. Both Fannie Mae, number 16, both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac recently told the United States government that they are going to need more bailout money. So what does it say about the U.S. economy? Is it growing? When the two pillars of the U.S. mortgage industry are government-backed financial black holes that the U.S. government has to relentlessly pour money into. Now, that's what we call the stimulus package. Borrow more from you. Give it a chance to get back into the banks. And then force the banks through foreclosures to reacquire the property that you bought at their stimulus package, and then turn it back into a government acquisition that they now are forced to take over. And they're crying about it. I'm sure they are. Number 17, 43% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for their retirement. 43%, one half of Americans have less than $10,000 savings. Tens of millions of Americans find themselves just one lawsuit or one bad traffic accident or one serious illness away from financial ruin. With so many Americans living on the edge, how can you say that the economy is healthy and we're not going to have an economic crash? Ask the people of Russia in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Number 18, the mayor of Detroit says that the real unemployment in his city is somewhere around 50%. So, can you say that we're experiencing an economic recovery when those that are the other 50% of those in Detroit are working for the system, federal-related, or the tax of the people that live in Detroit or out on the farms? Increase of taxes is what to pay the bill, and that's the secret of communism. Gallup measures unemployment here in the last month. It hit 20% on March of 25th. That was up from 19.7 2 weeks earlier and 19.5% at the start of the year. Do you think that they... economic recovery? I don't think so. They're talking to you, telling you that we're going to get a recovery here. It's a promise that they'll never deliver on. It's actually getting worse, ladies and gentlemen. Smell the coffee here. We are hurting as a nation of proud people. We are being turned purposely into a third world country with a socialist Marxist government, and the people are already entrenched. You'd be surprised to know who's been appointed by Mr. Obama to run your country. The same people that ruined or have destroyed other countries are now here running yours. 76% of Americans believe that the economy is still in a depressive recession. 76%. So people are now beginning to smell that something is rotten in Washington, D.C. One new poll shows that this 76% of Americans have no hope of seeing it get any better. 76% polled says that they don't see anything on the horizon that gives them hope for a future. The bottom 40% of those living in the United States now collectively own less than 1% of the nation's wealth. Now, I want to hit that again for you. That is number 21. The bottom 40%, and I done told you that in the world, 3% of the people of the world own 97% of its wealth. This is reflective here in America, and it's getting worse. The bottom 40% of those living in the United States now collectively own less than 1% of the nation's wealth. So is Barack Obama's mantra that what is good for Wall Street is good for Main Street? Do you think that's actually true? I know it was good for Wall Street. Has it been good for you? Ask the bottom 40% that own less than 1% of the wealth of the nation. That's what they want. When it gets up to 25% of the people of the world own 100% of the wealth, and that looks like it's the way it's going. not be an increase from the 3% to give those who are willing to sacrifice your goods and services for the state of a socialist world government. That's what it's coming to, so it can be controlled. See, it's all about control. It's not about free enterprise. It's not incentive to give you a chance to own a piece of the pie. It's to give less than 3% of the world's population, who own 97% of its wealth, distributed to at least 25% to run the whole world for the 3%. That's what it's coming to. Number 22. Richard Russell, the famous author of the Dow Theory Letters, says that Americans should sell anything they can sell in order to get liquid because of the economic troubles that is coming. Do you think that Richard Russell is delusional, or could he possibly have a point? He's suggesting that you sell now while you can get something for what you've got, because it's less and less every day. Now, let me hurry along here. In 23, defaults on apartment building mortgages helped by U.S. banks climb to a record 4.6% in the first quarter of 2010. In fact, that was almost twice the level of the year earlier, and it indicates that our economy is in serious trouble. These are little benchmarks along the way to a socialist takeover of America, to third world. That's why they're inviting all of those in the third world to come and get the freebies. See, that's the canker worm and the caterpillar that's described in the Bible. That if we forget our Father, Yahweh, if we fail to pray, if we fail to recognize Him as the supreme being, communism is atheistic to its core. They do not believe in the eternal God, the eternal one. They believe the eternal God is power and absolute. And to have that, they must have all of the goods. That's why that they're making money worthless. You can see it continue to decline. Number 24, in March, the price of fresh vegetables in the United States soared 49.3%, that's almost 50% that it soared to an unheard of figure. And that is the most gain in 16 years. That's the two Bush administrations, or Bush Jr. and Bill Clinton, the last 16 years. Both of them served 8 years. It's the most in the last 16 years. 50% almost that fresh vegetables in the United States will cost you another 50% more than they did 16 years ago. That's incredible. I'm telling you, I live next to a county where I live in Claiborne County. The next county over is Granger County. It's world renowned for growing tomatoes. And what they do, the ground is so, it's just like the Vidalia onion grown in Georgia, or the watermelon, the Georgia melons. The soil down there is perfect for either one in these particular areas. In Granger County, it's the tomato. And when the tomatoes right about now are coming in, and it's unreal what a bushel of tomatoes will cost you. And the dealers will come and buy these tomatoes, and the stores, and send buyers to buy these tomatoes from all around the world. They can't grow enough. And it doesn't matter what the price of these tomatoes are, people still pay. And the last 16 years, 50% more than it was 16 years ago. It's incredible. I don't see anything in the future that indicates that we're going to have an adjustment of reality. We're going to price ourselves and our goods and our services to where it's a fulfillment of the Bible that a loaf of bread or a gallon of oil to fix your food with is going to be expensive almost beyond the reach of your pocketbook. Number 25, and this is the last one I've got to close. 1.41 million Americans filed for personal bankruptcy in 2009. A 32% increase over 2008. Not that more Americans filed for bankruptcy in March of 2010 than during any month since U.S. bankruptcy law was tightened in October 2005. Remember that? They made it more difficult for you to file bankruptcy. And yet, in 2010, Americans recordly filed for bankruptcy. So shouldn't we at least wait until the number of Americans filing bankruptcy is not setting new all-time records before we even dare to whisper the words economic recovery? Ladies and gentlemen, shouldn't we face reality that we are in a time of trouble for America? And America, we brought it on ourselves. We failed to pray. We failed to seek His face. We failed to call upon Him. And we failed as a nation to do that which Yahweh commanded us to do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and humble themselves and seek my face and turn, instead of turning from our wicked ways, our cities are abominations. They're filthy. It's lewd. It's anti-biblical. People are falling away in the end time. Cold, calloused, lying, cheating, stealing, raping. I mean, everything that we do in the sinful mode has increased, like the production or the cost of food of fresh vegetables. 50% increase. We've had a 50% morality drop. I mean, we are 50% lower than we was 20 years ago. 50%. The Bible says in the last days, many, many will turn from the faith. We will turn ourselves into tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. That's what the Bible recommended that would happen in the last days. Yahweh knows that the day is coming when we will see the red ink of socialist or communist America. America, what's happened? Are we going to take back our country? Are we going to go from one county to the next? Are we going to clap our hands together and tighten our grip on each other's hearts and quit swindling and lying and cheating and stealing and depending on someone else to pay the bill and start like our forefathers did when they hewed out this country with an axe and a saw by muscle and blood when we dug the treasures out of our great nation and made it what it is today. We filled Fort Knox up with silver and gold, which in Fort Knox now there is not one gold bar left. It's all gone to the international exchange. They exchanged it out of our vaults and treasure houses, and we were warned by a famous person by the name of Benjamin Franklin when he said, the day that you let these money changers come and sit in your treasure houses, they will bow your back and make you bow to their demands, just like a communist Edomite controlled Russia in the 1917-1918 revolution, when they took over the country and by 1950 had it completely destroyed. When the people lost their insanity, they closed the churches. That's what's fixing to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. You won't have a place. You'll have to hide to pray. Because an atheistic president, he doesn't believe in your creator. Read his two books that he's authored. See where his heart is. He won't even cover his heart and bless this country and recognize its flag for what it stood for. And you think we're in a recovery mode? Think again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to write me tonight. I'm sponsored with Brother Mark out of the great state of Mississippi. We bring you this program, and we hope and trust and pray that you'll take and consider that the lies that you're being told and the facts that I've just revealed says otherwise. Who are you going to believe? Are we on a dead-end road to disaster? Have we come to the point where Yahweh said, I will chastise you with whips and scorpions? Are we being whipped for our disobedience? Is our nation being plagued? Are we sitting by? And as the old saying goes, you can't fix stupid. Stupid is something that can't be fixed. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a bad case of stupidity when we believe that we're on the road to recovery. We're on the road to disaster. We're on the road to a totalitarian system that would exact from your sons and daughters what the totalitarian citizens of the past have endured. Go to China and see how they live. Go to Russia and see the effects of the people that came up under Stalin and Khrushchev. See what's happening to those countries, and you'll see the mirrored image of what's happening to America. I love you tonight, and I appreciate it. Call me, area code 423-626-2172 for the home office. You can call me here tonight. I'm live at 423-338-1972. Now, that's area code 423-338-1972. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you Monday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. It's the Clear Channel, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a station that you are permitted to still preach the truth. And we really appreciate it that we've got a reason to speak on defense of our nation and the people that fear our Creator. May Yahweh richly bless you. I'll see you Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time around the world on WWRV. Until then, keep the faith. Look up, for your redemption is nigh. And I love you.
Thank you.